Then he is silently awakened from his sleep and he just opens his eyes and gazes at Kalayavana, and that's the end of Kalayavana. It is turned into ashes. So one may think, or one may tend to think, that Krishna has orchestrated all these things just so that he could get rid of Kalayavana without lifting a finger. One may think like that. But the real reason why Krishna comes to that cave. Now, nobody told Krishna which cave has Muchukunda gone and slept. There are so many caves, but Krishna goes right there. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna. So he knows what has happened. So he enters into the right cave, the specific cave, and he knows exactly the spot where Muchukunda is sleeping. And then he goes inside the cave in the interior and hides himself. And then Kalayavan is completely destroyed. So, after Kalayavana was killed, the Supreme Lord, what did he do? Atmanam darshayamasa muchukundaya dhimate. He showed himself, he exhibited his divine personality to Muchukunda. Now Muchukunda, at least in his life, had not seen Krishna. And for the first time in his life, he saw this brilliant Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was able to gaze upon the beautiful form of Sri Krishna, dark blue like a cloud, yellow silk garment, Sri Vatsa mark on his chest, Kaustubha Mani on his neck, shark-shaped earrings, etc. And Muchukunda was absolutely overwhelmed seeing this beautiful form. Now, Muchukunda was generally aware that a great personality was in the cave, but he was not specifically aware that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, was present there. So therefore he asks a question. Ko Bhavan, who are you? So this question he asks, he is asking this question because he is overawed. He is overwhelmed and overawed by seeing the personality of Godhead Krishna. So when one is overawed, sometimes what is very patently clear doesn't become very clear. So in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna expresses a desire to see Krishna's unlimited universal form, isn't it? He says, Manyase yadi tat shakyam maya drashtum iti prabho yogeshwara tato mitvam darshaya atmanam avyam. He says that Krishna, if you think it is proper, please show me your universal form. He requests Krishna to show his universal form. He says that I want to experience your mystic power. So please show me your unlimited universal self. And Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. He has never said no to Arjuna in any context. So he says that, okay, I will show you my universal form, but you won't be able to see with your these eyes, Charma Chakshu. So I will give you Divya Chakshu. So he gives him divine vision so that Arjuna can behold the universal form. And when actually Arjuna, and Krishna exhibited that form, he saw that form in which, you know, so many things were happening, you know, so many people, so many warriors on both sides were entering the flaming mouth of the universal form. And when he saw all that, Arjuna was overwhelmed. And then he no longer wanted to, he had the desire to see the universal form, but that desire was completely fulfilled, more than fulfilled. And now he didn't want to have anything to do with the universal form. So he says, Akhyayime ko bhavan ugra rupa namostute devavara prasida. He says, Akhyayime, please tell me that who you are. Now, he knows and we know that he has requested Krishna to show the form, but still he is asking who you are. So this is a result of getting overawed by the personality of the Lord. And that this is what is also happening to Muchukunda. So he says that, please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord and I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. So Arjuna is, though knowing that it is Krishna, still he gets overawed and asks, please reveal. And Krishna is very, very compassionate, and he doesn't say, Arjuna, but why are you asking this question? What nonsense. You asked me to show my form, I have shown you my form, and now you are asking Ko Bhavan. No. Krishna is very compassionate. He says, Kalosmi Lokakshayakrit Pravruddho Lokan Samahartum Iha Pravruttaha. He says, time I am great destroyer of the world, as I have come here to destroy all the people. So this way we find that we find that Krishna is always very, very compassionate to his devotees, his Bhakta Vatsala. So before expecting a reply from Krishna, because he asked, Ko Bhavan, Muchukunda, he introduces himself, that is the etiquette. He asks a question to Krishna. Before the Lord replies, he introduces himself, that is described in the previous verses, that he is Yavanashva, he is Mandata, and very humbly he calls himself Kshatriya Bandhu, though he is a topmost Kshatriya, having assisted the demigods in fighting the demons, but still he says, I am Kshatriya Bandhu. Now this was the culture, Vedic culture. Nobody ever claimed that I am a Kshatriya, I am a Brahmana. They never claimed that. Because humility was the basis of culture. So he says that I am in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. And then he describes how he became very fatigued by fighting wars on behalf of the demigods, and how he came to this cave, and how he, you know, slept in that cave. And he confesses that, I don't know, somebody kicked me and I opened my eyes, and he doesn't know that it is Kalayavana, and that person was burned to ashes. So very candidly, Muchukunda tells Krishna his experience. And then he says, Tejasate avhiyena bhuri drashtum na shaknumaha hata ojasa mahabhaga maniyosi dehinam. He says that, he tells Krishna, your unbearable brilliant effulgence overwhelms our strength, and thus we cannot fix our gaze upon you. He's very frank. He tells Krishna that so much effulgence was emanating from you that we are not able to see your beautiful Shama Sundara Rupa countenance. Tejasate avyena. Anyway, Ishopanishad also has something similar to say about the Supreme Lord. It says, Hiranyamayena patrena satyasya apihitam mukham tattvam pushan apavrunu satya dharmaya drushtaye. Says, the Ishopanishad says in a very beautiful verse that, O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Please remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So something similar is also prayed by Kunti Devi. So when the Lord's effulgence is covering his infinite beauty, people are not able to appreciate the beauty. Tam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam. They are not able to see, behold the beauty of Krishna. And Muchukunda is confessing that I am not able to see your beauty. So in answer to the question that has been asked, Ko Bhavan, Krishna reciprocates by replying. You can see that the principles of humility are established by the Supreme Lord himself. He doesn't act stiff with Muchukunda. He gives him reply, very straightforward reply. He says that Krishna makes Muchukunda aware of his Achinta Gunaswarupa. Then he says how no one can enumerate his qualities. Krishna is saying this. Activities, names and births. Then he says that on request of Brahma, Brahma wanted me to get rid of all the evil forces on planet Earth. Vinashaya cha duskrutam. ధర్మ సంస్థాపన అండ్ ఈ వాంటెడ్ మీ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ది ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ రిలీజన్. సో ఆన్ హిజ్ రిక్వెస్ట్ ఐ అపియర్డ్. దిస్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ నెరేటెడ్ టు ముచుకుంద. ఆన్ హిజ్ రిక్వెస్ట్ ఐ అపియర్డ్ అండ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ కౌన్సర్. ఐ ఆల్సో డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ మెనీ అదర్ డిమన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ హి సెడ్ దట్ ఐ డిసెండెడ్ ఇన్ యదు డైనెస్టీ అండ్ బికేమ్ నోన్ యాజ్ Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So, and then he describes his adventures with Kamsa and other things. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a beautiful verse in which Krishna tells Arjuna, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna tanyaham aham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapa. He says that many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all those, but you cannot, O subduer of enemy. So, Srila Prabhupada, in Bhagavad Gita elsewhere, he comments, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present as the super soul in all bodies, knows everything about all bodies. Krishna is the super knower. Super knower. So, Krishna tells Muchukunda, since in the past births, you repeatedly prayed to me, therefore I have appeared now. So I have personally come to this cave to show you mercy, for I am Bhakta Vatsala, affectionately inclined to my devotees. Then he says, now choose any benedictions. So Krishna is offering benedictions to Muchukunda. He is so pleased with him. And we find that Narasimhadeva similarly offered benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. The Supreme Lord similarly offered benedictions to Dhruva Maharaj. But once you are in the orbit of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then all desires for material benefits, they simply disappear, they simply vanish. And therefore, Muchukunda is in no mood to ask for any personal benedictions. And then instead he says that he offers his obeisances to the Lord and says that people of this world want all material benedictions, but they do not worship you, whereas they should be worshipping you. You are the Supreme Lord and therefore they should worship you, but they simply ask for material things from me. And they keep getting entangled in family affairs. So obviously it is mentioned here that having in the previous verse condemned those who misuse the valuable human form of life for mundane purposes, Muchukunda now admits that he himself also falls into this category. Muchukunda is introspective. He understands that though he has been critical in the earlier verses of people who ask material benefits, he says, he feels that I am also, to some extent I have also belonged to this category. And therefore, he decides there and then that he no longer wants to get entangled in cycle of birth and death. Punarapi, jananam, punarapi, maranam. He doesn't want to get involved in that. And he wants to become a pure devotee here and now. Now this attraction for the family life, this has also been described by Rishabhdev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he says, Ato Gruha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittehi Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. So this feeling of that I, my body, my relatives, my friends, my country, my nation, all these feelings are okay, especially today we have to vote, we have to cast our votes. So, but the point is that all this attachment, asakti for these things, that is a hindrance to spiritual progress. So, it's like a ship which wants to sail, but the ship is anchored. So, unless you remove the anchor, the ship, will not sail at all. So all other preparations one might have done, but The captain is there, everybody is there, but the ship just doesn't move because the anchor has not been removed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur narrates the story of, the story is well known to you, so I won't repeat all the things, but he narrates the story of a bridegroom's party which did not reach the bride's residence and wanted to travel by a boat at night, night time, night journey, sleeper coach. They wanted to go by that. But what happened was that the boatman forgot to remove the anchor. He was struggling hard. He was trying to row the boat. The boat was also moving. There were vibrations. But when the morning came and the sun was there on the horizon, they were where they were. They had not moved at all. So the anchors had not been removed. So similarly here, in our own life, also material life, unless we remove the anchors of attachment to the body and all that, those people who are related through the body and all other possessions, graha, kshetra, unless these attachments are removed, we cannot make any kind of spiritual progress. So it's very, very important that we become detached from this. So thus, Muchukunda is narrating his experiences, and there are more things to come. Hopefully we'll get more interesting details in the next few narrations. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions or any comments, please feel free. Yes, Prabhuji. See, basically you have the four primary directions, and in between there are several other directions. So you have the north, the south, the east and the west, right? But there could be in between some directions at particular angle, if you draw, you know, lines, there could be other directions which divide the, you know, those zones. Those must be directions. Now, I really do not know how 10 directions were there and how his chariot faced. What it simply means is that Dashrath was so very versatile with his chariot that it was moving constantly in various directions, and he was fighting all the time. It was not just that the Rath was moving, he was valiantly fighting. And he was fighting so bravely, and Ramayana described that Dashrath, you know, got injured in the process. He got actually badly injured. And because Kaikeyi was there with him, the Ramayana described that she was able to take care of Dashrath in that crisis. She took him and, you know, she nursed him back to health. That was the time when Dashrath gave 2 boons to Kaikeyi, right? And Dashrath was very happy. He was overtly fond of this wife, and now this Kaikeyi had rendered invaluable service and saved his life. So very grateful to her, and so he offered her 2 boons, which she kept on hold. And eventually she made request for those 2 boons, and that is how Ramayana is unfolded. So Dasharatha, this is what the Ramayana says. Maybe some other person can throw more light on the various directions. In any case, I was very bad in geography. Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any questions? Yes, Prabhupada. Will you please, I couldn't hear the latter part of the question. Will you please repeat your question?
I'm sorry. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the class. You mentioned in the class, during your class, that because Muchukunda provided service to the demigods, devatas, Supreme Personality of Godhead was also pleased, was obviously pleased with this service. So do we extrapolate that to that if you provide service to demigods, then Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, will always...
There is no need to extrapolate. When there is cooperation between living entities and with other living entities, and also with demigods, the Lord is pleased, because eventually the demigods as well as all the living entities are emanations from the Supreme Lord. Mamayo Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So everything is emanating from the Supreme Lord Himself. So therefore, it is not surprising that the Lord would be pleased when selfless service is rendered, you know, to the demigods. So there are many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where by cooperation the higher authority, the demigods are pleased. We have the example of the Prachetas also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Lord says that I am pleased with you. I don't know whether it is Lord Shiva or who says that I am very pleased with you because you know you are cooperating among yourselves. Srila Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to cooperate with one another. So cooperation is something which is extremely important to not only maintain but also to make progress. Without cooperation it is very difficult. So it's not that Krishna is, I am advocating that you should worship demigods and I am not advocating that. I am simply stating what is mentioned in the Bhagavad.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Any more questions? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.